Greetings and welcome, everybody. Ray Adams here for Great American Golf. I'm your caddy for the show. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Saturday morning, and we are in the middle of unbelievable golf all over the world. And yes, we are going to do for you, the Great American Golf listeners, the Open Championship wrap up. Now, we won't take the whole hour. We have a lot of other golf to talk about, like, well, news and updates from LIV Golf. And we have the ladies out on tour. We've got issues going on where they're saying that the DP World Tour that exacts fines on the LIV players, that LIV is no longer going to pay those fines. Dr. Bob Denny, PGA of America historian emeritus, is joining. And we will get this thing going here in one moment as we talk about that and many more today, including nuggets from Dr. Bob. We know that. This is the week, well, next week is the week of the PGA Buying Summit in Frisco, Texas, at the Omni Resort Hotel and the headquarters of the PGA of America. That's going on. Now, it is strictly for buyers and for, you know, exhibitors. And I was planning on being there. I still might jump a plane early Tuesday morning and go and then report back. But otherwise, I have roving reporters on site at the buying summit if I don't go. And we're getting everything ready for the Ryder Cup. Media credentials are in and done. And I am so excited about that for September. We'll be talking a lot more about that as we go forward. And then the big issue, what's going on with Keegan Bradley and his Ryder captain's agreement has been, it's an addendum, and it has been accepted by Luke Don, the whole Ryder Cup captaincy thing is up in the air. Dr. Bob will help us through that. All right, I want to thank Squares Golf Shoes. You know, Squares is the distance shoe, the control shoe, and the confidence that you can have that feel underfoot. Sir Nick Faldo tells you all about it. You got to go to Squares, SQAIRZ. You must go to SQAIRZ.com. And he's three-time British Open champion. He's talking all about it. And I also want to mention to you, their first ever full grain leather golf shoe was designed in collaboration with Sir Nick to honor his iconic 1990 Open Championship win. And I can only tell you that this is absolutely one of the most beautiful shoes I've ever seen. Now, Scottie Scheffler, Dr. Bob, and all you listeners, won the Open Championship in cleats. So Squares, in order to have cleats, because they believe in cleats, invented their own cleats, their own spikes. And when you're swinging for history, every ounce of traction counts. That history might be in a championship. It might be at your member guest or member. It might be just having fun out on a round of golf with your friends, SQAIRZ.com. And then secondly, I want to thank CertaFresh Cigar at CertaFreshCigar.com. Go there. More than 3,000 golf shops all over the country. We're helping them get 3,000 more, we hope. We're working on it. Eric Nelson and his whole team, all powered by Boveda, a proprietary humidification process, making those cigars in golf shops and in your hands at corporate and nonprofit outings, good for up fresh for up to 1 year. Can you believe it? Miracle. CertaFreshCigar.com, longtime sponsor and supporter, along with Squares and many others. I'll have a few more later in the show for you. Dr. Bob, what about Scottie Scheffler and this Open Championship for this Saturday morning crowd? I know we talked a lot about it on Monday. What a round of golf, though. What a way to play the game.
Yes, and I think that it once again established the fact that a person can go out and just basically shut out the noise and really perform. And that's what the impression I get from Scotty. He's able to do that. But the biggest thing is his putting improved from such a week before at the Scottish Open. He was tied for
Yes.
40th back then, and he was leading the field in stroke gains putting by the time he walks off the 72nd green at Port Rush, Royal Port Rush. So his putting sets him apart when he's on target because his ball striking is excellent. He's not going to make major mistakes. That's the biggest thing. And he found the fairways, which is not always easy to do in a links course. And he did a wonderful job of being in the moment. And all credit to him for holding it together, knocking off the third leg of a Grand Slam, being the first person in 100 years to win all four of his first majors by three or more strokes. That's all four of his first majors.
Yeah.
And he also was right up there in with everybody else who we talked about, Jack and Ben, for strokes outgain the field, which is amazing stat. So it's impressive, and he'll be compared to the greats as long as he keeps in this run. The biggest thing for me is, can he keep healthy, and will he be able to balance the family life as well as Jack Nicklaus did? If he does, he's going to keep winning. He's going to go double digits on us, but it's just a matter of time. And in our moments, and we live in the thrill of the moment in this culture that we have to be satisfied every 5 minutes. Well, he's going to be doing it steadily at his pace. And I just very impressed by the way he handles it at the moment. He's not the box office person we expect, and that doesn't matter anymore. It's
No.
how do you perform inside the lines?
Dr. Bob, Scotty gave a press conference last week prior to the Open starting, and he pretty much shocked most of the media and the world when he said things like, and I'm paraphrasing, and we spoke about this, but we're going to do it again today, that, he wants to win the Open Championship. He has practiced and trained and his whole life to be a professional golfer, that he's living out those dreams, and that he is one of these people that is, as you said, he's he's not the poster child or person. He's not the big marquee headliner movie star on the golf circuit. He doesn't want to be that. And he said that, this is a, it, he didn't say the word fleeting, but we know that it comes from his faith. That, you enjoy, you're excited when you win an event for a couple of 3 or 4 or 5 minutes. And then after that, he looks to his wife and says, "What's for dinner?" And his feet are right there on the ground. He's very down to earth. He's very determined. He talked about how much important, how so important it is for him to be where he is in life, but that it doesn't fulfill the deepest desires of his heart. That's a quote. By the way, Craig Renshaw, our PGA professional, has joined us. Craig, hello, hello. Dr. Bob and I are, we're all three of us doing a little wrap of the Open Championship, and then we've got the Senior Open going on over at Sunningdale in England. The 3M is going on over at the PGA Tour. We'll have Nuggets. And Keegan Bradley had an interesting little announcement event going on for the Ryder Cup. And LIV Golf has some things going on with them. So all that to talk about and some more. But let's keep going. And then after he won the Open, Scotty said, pretty much the same thing, how much he appreciated it, how great it was. I'm not sure the fans of Portrush, the town of Portrush, were so excited when he said he hadn't had a chance to get around town and look at it or visit it. He even made mention of that during his acceptance of the gold medal and the trophy. But again, he's such a reluctant star. And he's all about this, his personal faith. He's made it very clear. And that these championships, these wins are fleeting. They come and go. So a comment from me. I used to say long ago, speaking in front of large groups, training and doing different things, motivational speaking and things like that. And I had to learn it myself in my own life. Don't get your self-esteem from what you do in life, but from who you are. And that's Scottie Scheffler telling us this. In other words, those were my words many years ago, and they are. Because if you get your self-esteem from what you're doing in life, what will happen if you don't do it anymore? Where's your self-esteem? So many people climb the ladder of success only to find out that it's been leaned against the wrong building. And that is Scottie Scheffler. I think it's great advice. I think it's a philosophy, if you want to call it that. It's a faith for him, if you want to go there in that direction. Let's try to put our ladders and lean them against our own personal right buildings. You know, you can read every book in the world, but what if you read all the wrong ones when you're reading? Make sure we are clear, consistent, and focused on our own personal future and that we've thought through everything. Now, that's my word, Craig. You tell me, what's your philosophy and what about Scottie Scheffler? Does it compare at all?
No, I don't think it does. I mean, I think I'd be honest with myself. While I consider myself a better than average golf instructor and been recognized and done some stuff, he's at a level that, very few people in any industry ever get to. So to compare it is would be, I think, would be wrong on my part.
But I'm talking about his philosophy where he says things, and I'm using the word fleeting. He enjoys things, he practices, he loves it, he trains hard. He said that according to his faith, he feels obligated, that it is a requirement for him to be the best at what he does. And it's not about, yeah, he's the number one golfer in the world. You're one of our great instructors in the country. But it's about that excellence that we go for. I know you go for excellence, Craig.
Oh, absolutely. But that's the internal clock or internal dialogue that you speak to yourself that pushes you to that. But I think his honesty in the press conference, as far as, it's fleeting, there's especially in sports. I mean, let's say you send Bob and I a text after the end of this broadcast and say, "Oh my God, guys, that was the greatest show ever. We're going to have to put on another one on Monday." There's very few. If my wife sells a home and they sell 50 homes tomorrow, well, guess what? There's still the end of the month, and you still got it. There's very few that you get to really accomplish something and be able to not have to reclassify everything in your brain and do it all over again very, very quickly. If you win the Super Bowl, you get 2 months, 3 months before you have to start doing something. You win the World Series, you win the Stanley Cup. But very few sports, golf is unique in that it is played throughout the year for the most part. Unless you win the final tournament or final game of the year, you have to, for the most part, go, "Okay, I lost the starting game yesterday pitching. I got 5 more days, but I'm starting to reprogram it as far as get going. If I have a deal," I mean, that's just the way life is out here. I mean, many, many years ago, if I was out hunting for food, it's not like if I killed something, a buffalo or something, that guess what? I could say, "Oh, okay, I'm done now." No, this is going to run out. You got to start doing something again. It's not like you can just sit on your laurels and think you're done.
No, you can't. Chuck Mangione, one of our great jazz musicians, Dr. Bob, passed away a day or so ago.
Oh,
And then,
I'm
of
sorry to
course,
hear that.
Chuck Mangione, yeah. Some friends of mine who I've done work with are out of Rochester, and they knew him very, very well. As a matter of fact, he recorded in their studio. And I might have one of them on and talk about him. He was one of my favorite musicians. And then, of course, we lost Hulk Hogan to a heart attack here recently, the other day. And you talk about two different giants in their field, one musician, one sportsman. Hulk Hogan found a new personal faith, much like Scottie Scheffler's faith, not long ago. And he had a lot of things to say about that. I'm not, proposing support for anything one way or the other, but I am saying that people come to a point in their life, like Scottie Scheffler, where they set their priorities. And their priorities are where they are, Dr. Bob, and it works for them in their life.
There's a,
And they live a great life, Bob.
yes, you make a good point. And I think back about two things. First off, was the mention by Jordan Spieth, who knows Scotty very well from his youth, that he's a reluctant superstar and he can't compare him to anybody. He says, I'll just start with an example. Nikola Jokic, which is the Denver Nuggets, not the previous team I mentioned last week. And he's a reluctant superstar who doesn't want to be the face of the NBA, but he is the star. He is who the orbit revolves around for a winning team. Secondly, I think back to a quote at the tail end of the movie Patton, when George C. Scott is walking with his dog up with a windmill in the background, and he's thinking and narrating about Roman conquerors returning from wars and honor and triumph. At the tail end, a slave stood behind the conqueror holding a golden crown and whispering in his ear a warning that all glory is fleeting.
Unbelievable. Yeah, it's true. It's true. All right, we've got a lot of golf to talk about here. When you look at this Open Championship, Craig, what do you take away from it? We're going to move away from wrapping the Open. As I said, we're only going to do a brief one. But when you look at the Open, what do you take away from it for our listeners this morning? Because I want you to help them take away that so that they can get better. They can think through what the Open taught us this year.
Well, I think I mentioned it the other day. I think it's very rare that things fall into place the way you expect them to. I mean, there's very rare that the number one wins that golf tournament. And we expected him, if he played, to run away with it. And he did. And we had a good leaderboard. There was a lot of people that were moved up and down. And I mean, Scotty proved to everybody that when he is on a pretty good game, nobody's close to him. And that's pretty much what he showed us. Under some of the greatest pressure that you will ever see in golf, because it is a major, and it's a major that he had never won, in an area that I believe a week or so ago he said he didn't feel real comfortable on the links type of golf. There's a lot of great things, and so when they don't go everything the way you want, I think the average person has to be able to try to come up with something to work around it. But I think you appreciate when something happens the way in theory it should work. You should appreciate it, because there's not many things that everything falls into place. And really, it did last week.
Now, when you look at his swing, Craig, and you're a swing coach, you're an instructor, PGA of America, for a long time. When you look at his swing, and it looks like he's coming out of his shoes, and he's going to launch himself faster than Elon Musk rockets to the moon, but he doesn't, and he comes through perfect. I've never seen driving like these guys. I'm shocked at those fairways so narrow. I mean, they're as narrow as a pencil. And yet, most of these players, Scotty, just absolute perfection and landing it in fairways that are so narrow. I was shocked by it.
Well, that
How
was the.
can the local, how can our listeners, our recreational golfers today, learn from that? How do they hit it straighter?
Oh, golly.
Yeah, how many hours do we have, right?
What I was going to say is, Thursday, Scotty only hit two fairways. So he didn't hit it the way he wanted to.
Well, he fixed that quickly.
He did. I mean, I think you need to work on your fundamentals, understand your setup, the way things that make things optimal to be able to hit it, and just make sure your fundamentals are where they need to be, because those are some of the few things that you can do just like a tour player, and understand your ball flight, your game, how you hit it the most solid, so that you can replicate that over and over and over.
Is it harder to hit a driver straight than it is to do a power fade like Scotty?
Yes, I think hitting anything straight is tougher, because his power fade he's playing for, which I don't agree that it's a power fade, but when he hits his fade, he knows it's going to cut anywhere from 7 to 15 yards, and that's a lot bigger than trying to hit ones, really straight.
I don't think any amateur player should ever try to copy any of that. I think they should take one less club and relax and hit it. That's what Doug Sanders used to say. That's my little advice. Craig is a much more important teacher than I am, but just swing easy and take one more club. What do you think about it, Craig? Is that halfway decent advice?
I probably would have said that a decade or more ago. I don't believe so. A driver is meant to be hit powerfully, and so you should try to hit it powerfully. It's once again, it's understanding and predicting what the ball is going to
Yeah.
do, to be able to do that and replicate it as often as possible. So
Is the driver the hardest club in the bag to hit?
to control, yes, to hit, no.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it has the biggest face, so you're going to make
Yep.
contact. Question is, where is it going, right?
Correct.
All
Yep.
right. So that's what we take away from Craig from the Open and Scotty and his swing. Bob, what do you take away for the amateur listeners?
I take away just the score, the leaderboard. I see six Americans among the top 10 at the end of the day on Sunday,
Yay.
and I think that's a good sign for Captain Keegan.
Okay, that's a perfect segue to go right on over to Captain Keegan, and what he did this week, where he sent a captain's agreement addendum that if he becomes a player, that Jim Furyk would become captain. Do I have that right, Bob?
That's what I was reading. Yes. I was reading that very quickly.
And that addendum was accepted by who?
By both captains, right?
Well, but you have to accept that
And
addendum.
by the board,
There
excuse
you
me,
go.
the board, and obviously the officers who were the ones that selected you, and your vice captains.
Now, we also know this week, and again, I'm reading it and I'm listening, that Bryson DeChambeau is going to be on the Ryder Cup team, and Bryson is already talking smack against Rory, Bob. What about, I think it's funny.
I think
I
it's good
love
because,
Bryson. He's the most interesting guy in golf globally
yes,
right now.
he is definitely box office. That's for sure. If we have box office, and he said Rory never spoke to him at the Masters at all. Well, that final pairing, I have a feeling there'll be a
Well,
little
and I don't
different
blame
chirping
Rory
going
because,
on now.
well, I don't blame Rory because he's trying to, he was trying to have a career Grand Slam, and I don't think he wanted to get into any, tomfoolery, and all of that kind of jazz. But, Scotty, by the way, and I've got listeners that have written to me twice about it already, and several. Scotty is up for the career Grand Slam. All he has to do is win what, at U.S. Open? Craig, what about Bryson being chosen for the Ryder Cup? Some people think it's totally wrong. I mean, others think it's great. What do you say?
Well, I think you're supposed to pick the best American players, and I believe he's an
Yeah.
American. So more power to him. I know there was a discussion, I don't think it was real serious, but it was maybe 8, 12 years ago that there was senior players that were playing great. I don't think that they would have chosen them, but the reality is, you got somebody who's playing real good golf. Why wouldn't you pick them? If Goddard continues to play well, Do I think he deserves to be there, even if he's outside? No, but I think he, on a long golf course like Bethpage, you put him with the right person, he might be the perfect person to play two or three matches. You know, but Bryson can talk all he wants and get ready for the Ryder Cup to generate, you know, people looking at it. But I'm sorry, the only way Bryson's going to play Rory is in a match of a team match. Because if it comes down to it, Sunday, it's going to be Rory and Scotty. There ain't no way Bryson's playing Scotty or playing Rory. There's no way.
Well, now, what about Keegan being a player and then abdicating the captaincy, Bob?
That's not an issue at all. And Luke Donald, according to the BBC and the Mirror over in the UK, accepted the terms.
Yeah, and he and did.
That has nothing to really fault it. And like I said before, I have no problem with a person who either earns his way on or shows that he can help the team go out and play the team. And that means that captain, assistant captain Furyk, who has had plenty of experience, and we remember his bad times in Paris, that he can easily let take over the reins while the other guys out there on the course playing well. And I think this is important because this is in the United States. It's not in Europe. And I think it's really good to see that. I think a man who, of Keegan's ability to interact with the crowd, he's a natural when it comes to that. He will fire people up like
New England. Is he our new Captain America?
That's a good way to look at it. That's the good way. If he wins, yes, I guess that's the way you look at it.
Craig, is Keegan a better player than he would be a captain?
Oh, I don't know. You know, when he was chosen to play, we had this conversation and I said, I think it was a mistake. He's still in the prime of his career. I think he should have been trying to play his way on, which he's doing. I also think that if he doesn't play his way on, he's what, eighth right now, I think. So if everything stopped today, he would possibly pick himself. Once again, I think it shows how little there really is to do as captain. I know that'll spark controversy. I just think it's overrated. Pick a few names, have a few beers, and pick some people to go play golf. Jeez, yeah. This is not rocket science.
That's right. It's not rocket science.
This is not life or death. You know,
it's golf science, though.
Right, right. He's 10th. He's 10th in the ratings right now, and world ranked 7th right now.
Yeah, but you know he's dying to play. You know that he is. Mm-hmm. And he got overlooked for Rome. That broke his heart. And I think he's been, I don't know, it may be that the planets are lining up in his favor to play because here he comes as captain. And now he has the option to play either way, qualify or not. He can play. And I believe that it is his destiny to do that.
Okay, Ray, so let me ask a question. Who was our last playing captain? Was it Jack or was it Arnold?
It was Arnold 100 years ago.
Okay. So all the great players that we've had since that.
Yep.
Is Keegan Bradley the next greatest player that we're going to say possibly is a playing captain?
But I don't know that any of the captains we've had over the last 25 or 30 years – Bob, you're our historian. Help me.
That's because we didn't pick anybody that was 43 years old. Because we always pick people that was older. Why would you pick? You might as well pick Goddard for the next captaincy. I mean, it's like that's ridiculous. Might as well pick.
Well, they offered it to Tiger Woods, and he was
captain of the Ryder Cup team.
They offered it to Tiger, and he said no.
You know, it's. I mean, I think it shows. Sometimes how the Ryder Cup is losing some of its mystique too, because you're not getting people to be able to do it. We talked about this, you know, a couple of years ago. I mean, there's a lot of things that need to be discussed with this.
Totally agree. So if you were going to make one thing that stands out glowingly, Craig, about the Ryder Cup, what would it be?
Oh, gosh.
I'll go to Bob first and you can think about it. Bob, if you're going to pick one thing out about the Ryder Cup that really, really needs to be looked at. What would you say?
You mean it needs to be fixed?
Yes.
Oh.
That's a tough one.
There's so many
Well,
different
you just
things.
said, Craig, that there's several things that need to be done that need to be looked at. So
Well,
I figured you.
Ray, I'll give you one right now.
Okay.
Paying the players, I think, is ridiculous. I think it should all go to charity.
Yeah, well, that's all water under the bridge. They're paying them.
That's because of the President's Cup.
Craig?
I think if I was going to fix something, I know people might say it doesn't need to be fixed. I think it should be almost like Europe and the world against the United States, truthfully. I think it should be a President's Cup, Ryder Cup kind of combination there. I think you really want all the best players throughout the world playing one time.
PGA Tour will never let it happen.
Oh yeah, I know that.
They want their own Ryder Cup, and they created, invented the President's Cup. Now they're manufacturing the players into a major that I don't believe should ever be a major. I might be the only person in the golf media industry that thinks that, but I not only think it, but I'm firm on it. I will not relent. That's another day, another conversation. And we've had it numerous times. LIV Golf, Bryson is going over from LIV to the Ryder Cup. Is there anybody else that should go over, Bob?
Well, I'll tell you what, if the DP World Tour gets purchased by LIV, as some of the rumblings are being going on right now, the prize money goes up. You're going to see some unique defections from Europe, I think, come into LIV.
Well,
I think it's.
didn't Phil sort of Mickelson sort of allude?
Yes,
Go ahead and enlarge on and
he alluded that defections are going to be coming in this coming year.
why? Why are
Well,
they?
maybe he had a way to preempt this discussion time between the DP World Tour and LIV. And maybe that's the thing. The DP World Tour is in search of more attention, more prize money, and they really want to consolidate things. And I don't know if this is the answer for the World Golf Rankings to allow people to have a chance to get LIV in the rankings.
Well, that's
Maybe
back
this
up in the
may
air. That's
maybe
back up.
that that
Yeah.
maybe that's the way it's going to happen. But right now there is rumblings that this is going to be the next big blockbuster news on the horizon.
Well, that's what's on the table right now. And also, what I read is that LIV is no longer going to pay for the players who want to continue their membership with the DP World Tour. Because just about every event, major fines are exacted on the LIV players because they're playing LIV and not the DP World Tour.
That's correct.
And the LIV Golf was paying those fines as part of their deal, and they've now announced that they're no longer going to do that. Do you think that that is a hint that LIV and the Saudi money is going to take over the DP World Tour, Craig?
No, because if it was, they would, if it, to me, they just wouldn't find it anymore. What's the difference?
And that's a great point. Bob, why are they doing it?
Well, I still think the DP World Tour is serious about this negotiation.
You
From what
think they're
I've
going to
read,
lose? They think they're going to lose more players to LIV.
I think they feel they're going to lose some players,
Yeah.
and I think that's going to happen. I don't think the PGA Tour is worried about it at the moment, thanks to the Strategic Sports Group giving them a nice chunk of money. I don't think that's at the forefront of their problems.
But that money doesn't go to 2/3 of the PGA Tour players.
No, but it helps the tour. It helps the tour
I
stay
know, but
alive.
the players, that's great. Tour and they're loyal, or they are kind of on the fence loyal, Craig. But when it comes to money, people get funny, kind of an old saying. Do you think the PGA Tour is going to lose some players over to LIV as we go forward? Because there are a lot of players out there on the PGA Tour, and they've been vocal. Some of them have been vocal about it. There's others that are not vocal, but they feel it, I guess, that they're in the second tier or the third tier. And the money's not flowing into their hands with these elevated events, and the playoffs and all that jazz.
Well,
Go.
let's say you had somebody that was 95th on the PGA Tour. Okay, they want to defect and go to LIV. Great. Does that change or move the needle at all? If that person wins five events in a row, it doesn't move the needle. So what's it matter if they go to LIV or not? Why would the PGA Tour care if somebody at 95th, 105th, yes, I know they're not getting into the big events, the elevated events, the signature events to be able to get into the free no cut everything. So then why does the PGA Tour care?
Well, they shouldn't care. Why'd they care 3 years ago? The whole thing was completely botched and mishandled, in my opinion. It's been spoken about on this show for now years, and there's not a whole lot more that we know other than finally Jay Monahan is moving on, and we'll see what happens as far as players and what they're going to do. But yeah, you're right. I agree, Bob.
Well, I think we've seen a diminishing of talent for those that have moved over to live, and it has to me it has nothing to do with the 54 format versus the 72 hole format. It has more probably to do with comfort and being able to say that I got this in the bank at the moment, and the motivation changes within a person. It's only natural, I think, within an athlete that once sometimes contracts are in the bank, sometimes they don't perform as well as they had when they were hungrier. Okay, that's the only way I can look at it right now. But I am very close to two people that work on the World Golf Rankings board, and I am really waiting to see if there's going to be any kind of a shift in momentum there.
What do you make of it? It's back on the table again. They're looking at
Yeah,
it again.
I can probably tell you another week or so, but I at this moment I think there's both sides are talking. How's that?
Greg, what do you make of it? Should Liv get the ranking points?
Yeah, I think they should, but it doesn't mean that they don't have to adjust their playing fields a little bit, whether instead of having the team events are only on certain ones, or vice versa, that they have events that get points and ones that don't. There's ways around it. Like I said, maybe the World Golf Rankings have to change the way they tweak their stuff. It doesn't mean that everybody doesn't have to adjust a little bit and just move from there.
All right. Well, gentlemen, let me end this segment, and then we're going to go to a break for a moment. Everybody, stay with me. There's some very important sponsor messages there that will help you with your game and other things. So have a listen, and we'll be back on the other side. But let me end this segment by saying, are there other LIV players that Keegan should look at to bring over to the Ryder Cup at this point, Bob?
At this point,
Where we are, I mean, we're near, we're very close. Are there any others that he should be looking at? I'm not saying he's going to choose them yet, but who should he be looking at over there?
okay. I'll give you one guy that right now in his current ranking, Brooks Koepka. He is 72 on the world ranking, excuse me, 289th on the world
Well,
ranking.
that doesn't mean
And
anything anymore.
he's 72 in the standings for Ryder Cup standings, 72. Okay. Above him is Ricky Fowler, who's not on LIV. He's improved enormously in the last 3 weeks. He's 42, and his world ranking has popped up after being way down. He's 101st at the moment. Jordan Spieth is coming out of an injury. Chris Goddard's the one I'm looking at, and I'm just looking at that group right now. I'm not looking at any further people than that. But the word "live," I don't see anybody there. I don't see Patrick Reed being a person that would be someone that would be in contention at the moment.
Right, Craig. Is there anybody over at LIV that you think Keegan might be looking at, or are we getting full enough to where He's not interested in live players at this point.
Well, I think Patrick hurt himself by not making the cut last week at the Open. I think he was somebody that was possibly being looked at. And I think Ben Griffiths is somebody that might be being looked at. But really, no, I think Bryson is the only one that legitimately is going to get picked. Everybody else is pretty much just on the outside looking in.
All right. I want to thank Ashworth-golf.com, Ashworth Golf Apparel. The golf man is back. Freddie Couples is the ambassador. And we are looking at a completely new trend fashion when you look at Ashworth Golf. I'm proud to be wearing Ashworth Golf as one of their ambassadors as well. They'll be at the Buying Summit next week, and I'm excited about Ashworth Golf Apparel, everybody. It's absolutely beautiful. It's modern. It is what you want. It's everything you could think of in not just elegant, but very playable golf apparel. I'm excited about Ashworth. Make sure you get to that website. And then I also want to thank locally in Arizona, the Montezel Hotel and Casino. The Montezel Hotel and Casino is in Payson, Arizona. They pride themselves on being the friendliest casino in Arizona for all the reasons you would think. Amazing customer service, great staff, fun casino, wonderful food, spotless clean, great interiors, all the complimentary drinks. Non-alcoholic, of course, but lots of complimentary beverages over there and lots of ways to have a lot of fun. Beautiful rooms, perfectly kept. The Montezel Hotel and Casino in Payson, Arizona, my favorite in that area of the state. We're going to be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
Introducing the revolutionary T-Clip, a 4-in-1 magnetic T-holder, an alignment tool, a divot repair tool, and a ball marker. It's handcrafted to provide effortless access to your golf tees, all without digging in your pockets. Visit our website, theteeclip.com, to experience the difference and order yours now. Straight Line Golf brings you the club alignment system that will change the way you play golf while reducing your strokes on the course. How many times have you bought a golf fade that fell short of success? Our system is changing the way golf is played, whether novice or professional. Our patented club alignment system is a visual aid comprised of decals attached to your club shaft and can be left on the shaft while you play. This USGA permitted system will help with great repeatable shots for great alignment and swing. Visit StraightLine.golf for more details.
Legacy Golf Resort in Phoenix. Experience the thrill of our championship golf course. Dine in the full-service restaurant at the Trails End Bar and Grill. Our golf performance center is equipped with cutting-edge technology, helping you refine your game and unlock your full potential. We're not just a golf destination. We're also the perfect backdrop for your dream wedding at our gorgeous award-winning Sierra Vista venue. Whether it's a birdie on the course or the perfect I do under the desert sun, Legacy Golf Resort creates memories that last a lifetime.
Greetings and welcome back, everybody, to Great American Golf. Ray Adams here with you, joined by Mr. Craig Renshaw, our PGA professional, Dr. Bob Denny, PGA historian emeritus from the PGA of America, still working with them day in and day out to make the PGA of America better. And hats off to the PGA of America for putting on the Buying Summit in Frisco, Texas. This next week, our friend of this show and my longtime friend, Don Ray, the president of the PGA of America, has been touting it on social media. And make sure that you follow me at Match Play TV. That gets you to my Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube sites. Lots of activity going on there, lots of content going on there. A couple of new things are going to be posted here pretty quickly as well. And if you want to listen to these radio shows, this Great American Golf Show, airing three times today, Saturday, you go to the golfnewsnet.com, golfnewsnet.com. You go into the radio tab, you'll see radio shows, you're going to see Great American Golf, and you're going to see the Monday Golf Lifestyle Show as well every Monday. There, they will air three or so times during that day within a 24-hour period. Then they're sent over to all the big audio platforms like Amazon and Apple and Spotify, iHeart, Pandora, however you get your audio content. So make sure you look them up and listen as you go wherever you are. TV the same, Match Play with Ray Adams television show at golfnewsnet.com. It first goes over, you check out the TV tab, a tab on golfnewsnet.com. You'll see my television show there, Match Play with Ray Adams. And then after it airs there, it is sent over to Roku and Amazon Fire, Apple, and other great platforms where it lives there and it streams from there as the radio show does. So we've moved over to on-demand and streaming, gentlemen, and the folks are loving it. The sponsors are loving it. A bigger footprint and more listeners and viewers for our paying advertisers. So we thank them and we thank the Golf News Net. All right, guys, we've got a big PGA Tour Champions event. We've got a Senior Open going on. We had Wally Armstrong on one of our last shows talking about his Senior Open championship experiences where he played at Royal Portrush. Bob, let me let you kick it off. What's it look like for the guys?
Well, a familiar name at the top of the board as we head into the weekend, Padraig Harrington, and what a year he's having. Yeah. He's age 65 in his Friday round. Got a one-stroke lead over defending champion KJ Choi and a former Ryder Cup captain, Thomas Bjorn. And two strokes back, Ernie Els and Cameron Piercy. So that's pretty nice leaderboard to see that at Sunningdale. Great golf course. Wish someday I could play it. I left out a couple others at minus six, Justin Leonard and Ricardo Gonzalez.
Greg, what do you make of it?
Well, nice leaderboard. You know, Padraig's been playing well all year, so this is not a surprise. He's got a one-shot lead. You know, let's see if he's able to hold on for the weekend, but I would assume he's only going to separate and get a little bigger and a little bigger.
You think he will move on and put more strokes between he and the tank, KJ yes. Choi?
Yes.
I would guess so. You know, he's won two Opens, and the Senior Open should not be a big stretch for him at all. I'll tell you what, KJ Choi is a player. You've got Bjorn. Leonard is there. He knows what to do. Ernie Els certainly knows what to do. I think it's Stephen Alker's down there. He's you know, he's three over, so he's eight off the lead. How far out can you be, Craig, in a Senior Open championship in England going on this weekend? How far out can you be before you're too far back?
Well, they've had a 63 every day. So you're probably about where Stephen Alker is right now. You're three or four back right now, maybe five. So you can probably get the wire. You know, you're in 18th place. You're about five back where Tom Pernice is. You got a shot, but it's going to require, you know, a really good weekend.
Yeah. Well, eight under, seven under, six under, five under, you know, you've got to go all the way down to four under. So he's only four back, Alker. I'm going to watch these gentlemen because I have a feeling that every single one of them, especially Ernie Els and Choi, are going to have something to say about it, Bob.
Mm-hmm. I'm also happy to see that Jason Karen in his debut and the Senior Open made the cut at even par. Had a 69 in the second round, so it's great to have a friend of our program doing well.
Yes, he is. My buddy Miguel Angel Jimenez is there at three under. I don't think he's too far back. Alex Chayka, a strong player, playing with Tour Edge Golf Clubs, touredge.com. And I can only tell you that I would think that these Tom Pernice is there. I've always liked Tom Pernice and his game, Craig. What about that?
One of the best short game people from around the green you will ever see. Works with your neighbor quite a bit. He's just got unbelievable hands and around the green, Tom is just amazing.
Great player, and as you said, short game player. I think that there's a few there on that 6, 7, 8. By the way, Tom Pernice is 65 years old, so I mean, and there he is. But I think that he can still play this game. But like you, Craig, I really would probably go with Padraig. He is having a great year, Dr. Bob. Let's finish out this open little wrap up by your
I have a
comments.
little nugget for you. 21 years ago today, club professional Pete Oakley wins at Royal Port Wash, the Senior British Open, it was called at the time. And he got up and down from a bunker and sunk a 10-foot par putt to beat Tom Kite and Eduardo Romero. And Pete Oakley finished at 4 under on that golf course at Port Rush. And it will always stand as one of the great achievements for PG of America club professional history.
Absolutely, will it. Now, going on, they've asked me to come back to the Ryder Cup, a couple listeners. So we'll go back to the Ryder Cup a little bit. Apparently, that's a very compelling discussion. And we did a bunch of that already in the show, quite a bit of it. Let's go back a little bit. When you look at Bethpage Black, Craig, and the extreme difficulty of that golf course, and I'm going to try to get either a superintendent or a representative setting up the course for the Ryder Cup, depending on how they set that up, I believe they'll set it up for wonderful competition. It'll be a birdie fest if the players are playing well. I don't think that they're going to put an extreme difficulty on that course for a Ryder Cup. They want fun, they want viewers, and they want players to score. Now, that's my opinion. What say you?
It's been a while. I don't remember the golf course great. It's very tough. It's long. It gets thick. Depends on the summer that they have up there as far as how the rough will be. It'll be a lot of elevated greens if I remember correctly. It'll be set up difficult, but it's a pretty straightforward golf course the way I remember it. So I don't think it's going to be a huge advantage for the Americans. Obviously, there's things you can go statistically through and see what we have an advantage over within where they do. But I think, it's in New York and that's what the PGA wanted. And so that's the golf course that they picked.
Bob?
Well, the average winning score, I've been taking a look at this. Bethpage Black and majors had been 4 under par, and then Bruce Koepka 6 years ago was 800 par for the best score of anybody in a major on that golf course. But what it boils down to is how well the conditions are, as Craig said. What's the rough situation? Everybody knows it's not easy to play on a Tillinghast golf course. You just don't walk out there and throw it up there and score. That's not the way you play a Tillinghast golf course. But it's very challenging. It's got a lot. It's more than just length. It's tight in many areas. But it's knowledge, it's course knowledge. And I give a lot of credit to Keegan. He knows that area very well, obviously. Lucas Glover certainly knows that golf course very well. And I just think there's opportunities for a lot of people who have familiarity to walk in there and say, I don't think I have to play 10 rounds here to know my way around this golf course. But you have to be able to adapt as the conditions change, and they will change out on Long Island.
They will. And I think the weather in September is going to be a big factor. I can't wait to get there and be there, have my media credentials all in, and looking forward to it. Excited. Scottie Scheffler won $3.1 million at the Open Championship last Sunday. But LIV Golf is in the United Kingdom this week as well, along with the Senior Open, as we've spoken about. They're going to have their customary $25 million purse, and $4 million will go to the winner, along with $5 million set aside for the team event. John Rahm won this last year. I mean, how long can they keep going? $4 million to win a LIV Golf event, and you win the Open, and you win $1 million less, Bob.
I'm not looking at the prize money. I'm just looking at the quality.
Well, sure.
Yeah.
Well, of course, but I am now talking money.
You're talking money, yeah.
I'm now talking money.
That's the problem when we talk about professional golf right now. It's just we talk about purses. That's all we think about.
We don't do that on this show. I mean, yeah. We mention it here and there. Right. Our focus is on quality. Our focus is on players, some instruction, swings. How do you get out of this problem, that problem? We go to a lot of places that lots of other shows don't go. But once in a blue moon, it occurs, at least to me, my goodness gracious, you won one of the greatest championships in the history of the game and the oldest one, global, and you win $1 million less. Mm-hmm. I don't know how they can keep it up.
Well, and I don't think they're going to keep it up. That's my feeling. I think the clock's ticking on that kind of how much is going to come out of that fund, the PIF fund. Mm-hmm. That's just my view. And I might be the only one in the media that ever thinks that. But right now, I just don't think it's a timeless. I don't think it's timeless. And I don't think it's limitless. I mean, it's bottomless, I should say. That's the word. It's not bottomless.
Well, there are two resources in this world that are finite. And I don't care who you are. I mean, Elon Musk is the wealthiest person on the planet with I don't know how many hundreds of billions, and there's others, but it is a resource. Money is a resource that is limited. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's only so much money, and I don't care if you're there are things Elon Musk would like to do that he can't do because he doesn't have enough money. Can you believe it? But it's true because it's a limited resource, Craig. And there are limited resources in golf as far as money goes. By the way, the second limited resource in life, in the world, is time. There's only so much time. And I don't care who you are. We all live on the same clock. We all have the same number of second, minutes, hours in a day. And it is a limited resource. Those are the two great limited resources out there. So if you make 50 grand a year, that's your limit. Or if you have 200 billion, that's your limit. Craig, can they keep it up? Do you think they will, or are they going to start cutting back?
Well, I think they'll keep it up. I think it depends on the things that are not necessarily out for us to know right now. I think there's a lot more still going behind the scenes than what we know about. So if they see certain things happening, or there's agreements, or there's where things are going, there they may keep it up for 20. I mean, the amount of money that thing has, that if they go 20 years doing this, they still don't even notice it. The decimal point hasn't moved. So I really don't see, you know, we've kept the WNBA around for 25 years. PIF has a lot more money than the NBA and can go 20, 25 years and not even have to worry about it.
Speaking of the NBA, there's a team out there known as the San Antonio Spurs. Have you heard of the San Antonio Spurs, folks?
Is that a joke?
I heard, well, Craig mentioned the NBA, so it was a perfect segue for me to say As far as the NBA goes, I have a little bit of a breaking news, fun family announcement. I'm now the newest San Antonio Spur basketball fan, along with, I think, many others. I don't follow basketball that much. I don't watch it very often. Occasionally, it's fun, but it's just not, I don't have the time to watch all the sports. But I'll try from now on to be watching as we get into the NBA new season, because my granddaughter has been chosen out of I don't know how many that audition to be a dancer, not a cheerleader, not the tumbling gymnast, but she is a professional dancer and has been chosen to be one for the San Antonio Spurs. Ain't that something, Greg?
Yeah, good for her.
And Bob.
That's
so
very nice.
We'll have to, I'll have to watch or record some games. She's getting all into her training and routines, and they're figuring out outfits and all the things that they do. But she's very excited. She's trained since she was 3 years old as a dancer, and she's nationally ranked. She's a wonderful ballet dancer, modern dancer. But this is a different kind of dance, and it's going to be fun. And it is her first professional dancing job. So I'm pumped about it. Couldn't wait to say that. Gentlemen, thank you so much. Folks, Craig, give you the last word. What should everybody be doing this week with their game?
Well, it's the dog days of summer. I would tell you, get out there and at least put some time into it. I think that's the challenge, getting out there in the real hot weather and challenging yourself and putting some time out there.
Bob?
I'm anxious to watch Lottie Woad and her debut in professional golf and see how well she does for the weekend. She's leading currently at the Women's Scottish Open with 12 under par. And what a great talent. I'm all pulling for her to see if she can pull it off.
Well, the Women's Scottish Open is there. And then we didn't get a chance to talk about that. Ran out a little bit of the time. But we will definitely be doing a big wrap-up show on Monday, the Golf Lifestyle Show, right here on the Golf News Net, and then out on all the big major audio platforms, as I mentioned earlier in the show. And of course, obviously, we have the Senior Open. We've got the 3M PGA tournament going on over on the PGA Tour. And we'll just cover all of it and wrap it all up on the Monday Golf Lifestyle Show with Mr. Craig Renshaw, with Dr. Bob Denny. Maybe there's a special guest I'm looking to track down. Watch out. I'll probably do that for you. And we'll be back with you on the Monday Golf Lifestyle Show. Enjoy your weekend, folks, from Great American.
Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. Due to the game's efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, courses that are more sustainable, with many now offering natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. Jack Nicklaus agrees.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Time when you buy and book online at DiscountTire.com. Did you know that Discount Tire now sells wiper blades? Stop by for a free air check or tire inspection and ask an associate about wiper blades today. And remember, if ever you're not satisfied with one of our tires, please feel free to bring it back. Thank you. Discount Tire.
Let's get you taken care of.